It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, two guys who couldn't make it as public address announcers. Well, they take my job, darn it. It's Patch and Switch.
I'm just realizing I'm not even signed in the chat room yet. I've been off reading news articles and other things and catching up on email.
You've been reading news articles?
Yes.
The impending doom of the East Coast of the United States?
Yes, actually. Lots of snow.
Yikes. The security camera's very security camera-y.
We upgraded. We upgraded the security camera to circa 1987.
Yes, it actually is a CCTV with dumped VCR tapes.
Ooh, I thought it was Betamax. Is it VHS?
We got the upgraded version to go to VCR.
Oh, we got the VHS. Yeah. Okay. All right, that's good to hear. How are you, buddy?
Not too bad. This is, I will self-profess, this is my fourth day without coffee.
What?
I don't know why, but I
really would like to know why.
You know, the stabbing pain headaches have gone now, so that's good.
Oh, God.
But it's my fourth day without. And I kind of don't know what to do with my hands because I'm just hanging onto a cup of coffee.
Would you like a cup of coffee?
I don't want a cup of coffee. I'm good there.
Maybe just carry an empty cup or a cup of water.
Water works, but I didn't bring my water container.
Ah.
Water container or something like that. Yeah, so, you know, but, you know, all that being said, I'll save this for beer talk, but, you know, we made our first infused coffee beer.
Yes, we did.
We'll talk about that a little bit later on. I was going to bring some of that in because that's not really coffee. That's beer. But
you can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
I keep telling you guys that.
Very true. If I didn't have about 25 different half-an-hour meetings today with different people,
right?
I would actually partake, I think.
Big shout-out to everybody in the chat room. We've got Andy Sandwich, Wireless Life, Vizio MVP, One Wise Geek, Kowski, Kevin Hoyle, Bjarne. Happy birthday. Sorry, I missed. I was late. All-hands meetings tend to keep me off social media. We've got Essex Girl, sorry, Fair Brett. We've got Patrick. Good to see. Where's Patrick been?
I don't know. I think he's been hiding under some rock in Sweden.
Yeah, probably. And of course, audio guy Jay Shock. Super Tech Boy has joined us. Hello. We've got AZ Growler Guy here as well, so welcome. Andy Sandwich says, fourth day with no coffee, that's a cry for help. And then, of course, immediately after that, AZ Growler Guy says, 3 months of no coffee here. Talk about a cry for help, my friend.
You know, I haven't seen or heard from Wireless Life in a while.
He's in the chat room.
He's in the chat
he's
room.
Just
it's nice.
Hello,
but I was
Wireless
just looking
Life.
At,
yeah.
He has all these automated tweets going off from these different services that he uses and quotes and stuff like that. I'm like, Where's the human? Where's the human? I know he's there. Peel back the layers, buddy.
let's see. Jay Barsotti? Yeah, Jay Barsotti's joined us as well. It's trying to read the names
new
without my glasses.
I love the fact there's new
it
people.
It is. It's fantastic. It's always good to see new new folks in the chat room. New faces. Yes, absolutely. So a lot of folks, you mentioned your coffee-free 3 days.
Yeah, it's the new year.
A lot of people tend to use January as alcohol-free or no drinking.
Sorry.
Why?
Well, see, I thought... of all the months, that would actually be a fairly decent month to have a dry month.
Yes.
Except for us because and we'll get to this in beer talk, but the brewing competition is in March.
Yep.
Meaning everything has to be made now.
Yep.
So that's really not an option for us.
So back home, we call this the East Coaster Lent.
East Coaster Lent?
East Coaster Lent.
Okay.
So East Coasters, I mean East Coaster. East Coasters are known for drinking. You call it Lent, so basically you stop drinking for the month of January and February and March, but you start drinking on St. Paddy's Day.
Oh.
So it's East Coaster Lent.
I see. That's that works for me. Hey, look, Joe Kelly's joined us, as has our friend Tom Kupka. We actually have been talking about you, Tom Kupka. We've been thinking, hey, we need a care package from Tom Kupka.
Oh, nice.
Yes, we do.
So we've got to get our order in with him. Also, a good friend Adam Baum has joined the room.
Although we absolutely do not condone the transportation of alcohol and
no,
spirits
that is
across
correct.
State lines.
That's
that
correct.
Is an offense.
Right. Apparently. I don't know. I just know
is that
I am...
an offense I could lose a green card?
A jaywalking ticket is an offense, I'm sure. So. Why do you think I'm always on my best behavior at all times?
Yes, Tom Kupka revolution, absolutely, 100%.
Because you're Canadian?
Yeah. Yep. So what's been happening? What's been going on? Tech world has been exciting.
Tech world's been very exciting, man.
Should we talk about From the Trenches? Should we just jump right in? I mean,
jump in. Yeah, sure, man.
It's really early for us to already hit the first segment, only 5 minutes into the show. But said,
that just leaves more time for other places to be able to talk in.
But, all right, sounds good.
My From the Trenches recently has been an awful lot around digging into documentation. I'm on some big fixer-upper type projects right now in my current role, which is kind of neat, which has forced me to become intimately familiar with refreshing my Git skills, my Markdown language skills, Linux background coming back up again, getting Linux all happy and working, all that sort of stuff, and also getting familiar with good old fashioned Visual Studio Code.
Hang on, I have to adjust this. This is bothering me.
Is that there. A camera angle adjustment?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
There
the
we
high
go.
Tech.
Yeah, and I of course made sure that he was live with that camera when
as
I
he was doing
it. Yeah.
Very normally you switch to a different camera while you do that one there.
No, we are so professional we just refuse to do that.
Nice. Yeah, so doing a bunch of stuff with regards to that for documentation projects. I can talk more about that a little bit later on, of course.
Patrick's got some stuff he's been working on. He's been busy planning Office 365 onboarding.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Yeah. I have been in this. It's the time.
It's the time
all
of
hands.
Year.
Yeah. Yes. That's 2 days of all hands.
Yeah.
Always good.
At Microsoft, they're just kind of wrapping up the mid-year reporting stuff all around the world.
Yep.
All the different leads from all the world come in and talk about how their business is going.
Yes.
And then get their chance to have direct feedback to a bunch of different people.
And we've been spending time reviewing that. And of course, in my world, we have already moved on to next year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that
you've
was
incorporated all the feedback they all brought in. But
well, absolutely. Absolutely. And that was the first half of the all hands was spent, you know, kind of reviewing that.
Yep.
And then it's, hey, you know, life of a planner, move on. And actually, in my world, I've been thinking about next fiscal year, FY17, for about 3 months now. So, yeah, already been moving on. So I've also spent some time, I mentioned in the last show, I was playing around with some containers. I love the container technology.
It's like fast food containers?
What? No, like Docker containers and Windows containers, not fast food containers.
I noticed on the Twitters yesterday, they was blowing up with Docker, talking about how they just acquired and merged in Unikernel.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. I was off social media.
It was very big announcements going on with them acquiring and bringing Unikernel into the fold. They're thinking it's going to do some great stuff for their adoption and that sort of stuff.
So when are we going to get Azure Growlers?
I don't know. We should probably make some Azure Growlers or something. That would work. Growlers as a service or...
GAS? Is that what that is?
The GAS service.
That actually may work. Growlers as a service. We may have copyright 2016, the Patch and Switch show. Had to say that just to make sure
all
that
nobody's... All rights
reserved. Yeah, all rights reserved, TM.
Offer void in Utah.
Or, yeah. Good one. Well done, J-Shock. I like that. Sean Lowe asked, does anybody know if the Service Pro 3 dock has discontinued, having a hard time finding them, and their users don't like the new one?
Interesting.
I've not heard anything.
I've seen them in the stores, both the company store and the Bellevue store. They still have the Surface Pro 3 docks, as far as I'm aware.
Andy Sandwich says he would pay for the Growlers as a service. And Joe Kelly jumps in asking, hunting for Azure update training, given Ignite is now so far off, he needs his fix. Can't make tech mentor. What are others doing to keep up with the rapidly changing Azure landscape? Well...
The Azure boot camps that are going around?
Yeah, there is. I'm not sure they're going too deep into the newer updated stuff. I haven't seen the content, so I don't know. Do you know?
It's a mix. I'd say 50-50.
Yeah. Bjarne just says he went to an Azure camp.
Yeah.
Jay Bardos, he suggests to Joe Kelly, do you have an MS-TAM? If so, ask for PFE training. Took the IaaS training, so it was pretty good. Do you have anything? Is there anything? Well, you've, of course... Tuesdays with Corey is the place to be. Not to plug yet another freaking show that you do, but I mean, Tuesdays with Corey, great place to go gather and get up to speed. I mean, it's not going to be super
fun and
deep.
Lightweight, I will say. I mean, it points you off to different things, but I wouldn't exactly call Tuesdays with Corey training.
Good point.
But, you know, like the last episode we did was actually showing some stuff off in from December that we didn't get a chance to talk about, which was some of the new ARM template deployments for SQL. Very cool stuff with that one there. Have you seen the new SQL template? Have you seen it?
SQL's a database, actually, right?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, former DBA, shame on you, sir.
You understand the nuances of doing a deployment with an ARM template and what it looks like in the portal.
Yes.
Well, the SQL team went and did a very good job doing a customized ARM template, which is now part of the marketplace, which actually has a performance tuning tab entry for it that allows you to choose the machine. You have a slidey bar that says how many IOPS you want. You have a slidey bar for how much other kind of stuff you want to have and storage spaces. And it will automatically go ahead and self-describe and attach the appropriate amount of disks, type of disks being premium or regular, to match the IOPS of the slidey bar and then provision it all for you. Yeah, it's actually pretty sick, man.
Oh.
I want to have that functionality built into a bunch of other templates.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got to figure out how that one there works.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Sick. Oh, yeah, very, very sick how they implement it.
Pretty excellent.
Sweet. Pretty sweet. As they say, it is now, as the marketing tagline says, Azure is now the easiest and fastest way to configure SQL in the cloud.
And I actually pointed people last night. I did a talk on using Azure with SharePoint. And when people are building farms in Azure, I told them, yeah, you can use the SharePoint templates that are there.
Yep.
Or make your own SharePoint templates and then use the SQL templates because the SQL templates build you better SQL boxes.
Oh, yeah. True. Very true.
Sean Lowe likes the sound of that SQL template. I think that's actually pretty awesome.
Oh, I know. I'm actually talking with the PM that was part of the guys that built that one to find out how and what they did around that.
Diego Costas joined us. Welcome, sir. Good to see you. We're getting all sorts of folks that have, you know, been a while.
Yeah.
New folks coming into the room.
Reunion day or something?
I don't know. I like it.
This is without me fixing that ICS template downloadable file.
You know what I think it is the impending snowstorm of doom, the snowpocalypse. Yeah. A lot of places are closed or closing. I know we had Mr. Beckman in earlier, so I want to send a shout out to him. He is leaving. As they are getting ready to shut down their office. I do believe it's now, so he's going to leave.
I heard because of the impending snowstorm on the East Coast, Seattle's actually going to shut down as well because they're just scared from it.
There might be too much rain going on.
Yeah, that's been insane. It's not been the normal Seattle just blah rain. Yeah. It's been like...
Heavy.
Yeah, well, it's just been constant.
Yep.
I'm
not used to these avalanche warnings and shutting down of passes and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I've been staying out of the mountains of late.
Beer-pocalypse.
I guess I should be going up there to go skiing, but I haven't been up there yet.
Big shout to Esposito for joining. Hello, sir.
So documentation in my world, planning in your world.
You've been working on a lot of documentation stuff. At least that's what everybody says in meetings that you are not in attendance.
Yes.
It's been kind of amusing because as I have meetings with the various engineering people, the topic comes up a lot.
Yeah, no, we're taking documentation seriously in Azure. I mean,
we've got
a lot of feedback over the last couple of months about our areas of documentation that need improvement, so we're doing something about it. And I was the FNG that happened to be around that they tapped on the shoulder.
So, yeah, that's kind of one of the downsides about moving, isn't it?
You have all this available time and cycles because the existing PMs are busy with other things.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, you're
the new guy.
You can help out with this.
Here.
Yeah.
Enjoy this.
So I will be able to share more soon, but at this point in time.
No, I understand.
It's very, very cool.
Yeah. I'll eventually be able to share all the stuff that I've been working on in 6 months.
Nice.
It's just the life of the planet, right? Yeah. I mean... Yeah, I'd love to talk about all the things, especially this week, because there's been a lot going on this week, but we just can't talk about it. So,
That's always the tough part about being planners. You have a whole bunch of stuff you can't talk about because it's all coming out soon, and you can't talk about it until it's out.
Well, and the main thing is I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Right.
I think that's really the big thing for me. So, I mean, it's not like the technology that I've been working on. We know that there's containers. Mm-hmm. We know that there's Azure Stack. We know that there's a lot of the enhancements that are happening in Azure. We were talking about ARM templates just earlier, and that's been a lot of some of the stuff that we've been working on, and really just kind of that enhancement of the educational process.
I think AZ Gralagrai said, is there, can we get an NDA for this group? I was like, I don't know. I don't think we'd actually be able to pull that one off.
Yeah, I don't think table NDA works when you're broadcasting on the internet.
Exactly.
You got it.
I like my job.
You could redact it, though. I could go in with the after the fact.
Dude, the last time you tried to do that, do you know how long it took me to get the Sharpie off of my screen when you were trying to go in and redact things? I mean, really? They don't pay you enough to have to deal with that. $1.282 Canadian.
Yeah, it's that raise.
Yeah, and now thanks to the dollar, U.S. dollar, Canadian dollar exchange, it's gone down.
That's how it works. Hey, do you want to do From the Trenches? Do you want to talk about From the Trenches? Oh, we did From the... Sorry. Beer money.
Beer money.
I
have a horrendous story to tell.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
So I've noticed that my internet's been crap of late.
Have I been over at your house brewing it on the Wi-Fi.
We've been having some initial forays into a group squad of players that want to play Rainbow Six.
Which is going to be a topic of...
Which will be a topic at some point
random
in time.
Random spending.
Either way, it's been up and down as far as connectivity is concerned and different connectivity issues. And I don't know what's going on. So, I start to do my troubleshooting of the router at the house and figuring out what's wrong with the router. But it's a brand new Linksys WRG1900 AC, whatever
is
it is.
Is that the
big spider-looking guy with the extra antennas?
Isn't that a Nighthawk or something along those lines? I don't know what
the Nighthawk, I think, is Netgear, isn't it?
Yeah, is it?
Either way.
Yeah.
It's one of those big-ass, nice guys that are routers concerned. But I'm getting really spotty upload and download speeds. And, so I thought, well, check this out, check that out. Maybe there's a blockage. Go on and do this. Check the wires. Blah, blah, blah. No luck. So I'm like, as much as I hate to do it, let's call in the tech support.
You called tech support?
I didn't call tech support. Did you? I sent my wife to call tech support.
So you can still say that you don't do it.
So I can say I did it, what I did was... I literally went and I said, okay, here's the test that we did. Here's the speeds that we got. Here's the troubleshooting that we did. They're going to ignore everything you tell them anyway, but at least you have that information you can tell them on the phone. So she tells them, she says, okay, yeah, I've got about an hour or so free. I can do this now before having to go off and do something. Three hours later, she calls me back. And she says, first they had me to the Philippines or someplace.
Oh.
And the guy was so on script, even I could tell he was on script. And I'm like, yes. And it's like, then they transferred me to Florida. And the guy in Florida was just pissed off that you would change the router over from being in gateway mode over to bridging mode. Because he can't troubleshoot it in bridging mode. So he wanted to switch it out of bridging mode back into gateway mode.
Did you have it in bridging mode, or is that something?
I have it in bridging mode.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, to be able to use my own network and my own control and stuff. And then that went on for a little while longer. And then she's getting pissed off. And she's like, look, I've got to go pick up my kids at school. I got to go. So he's like, well, there's not much else we can do here at this point in time. But if you want, I can issue you a ticket. And then you can go and either have a guy show up and then take a look at the device. You can go and swap the gateway out because it's an older gateway, so you can swap the gateway out at the store. She says, well, you know what? The faster way to do this is I'll just take the device, swap it out, and then see if there's any other problems. So she goes to the school, picks up the kids, drops by Comcast, talks with them for about 10, 15 minutes because they go through their script inside the store about what's going on. But she had a ticket number, so they said, okay, here you go. Here's a quick swap. The cool thing was that, in case you don't know, if you want to and you have the X1Finity platform, like we do for TV, you can get free remotes.
Yeah.
They don't track their number of remotes that you happen
that
to have.
That is correct.
And so our remotes, the first-generation remotes, have the battery door that falls off the back of them too easy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we swapped them all out. We got new remotes. So she's
got
happy.
The talkie ones now?
The talkie ones.
Yeah, those are awesome,
and
right?
She's happy about that now. So that was her redemption for the fact she's just been through 3 hours of technical support hell.
So let me rewind. The tech support was actually with the cable modem, not
correct.
The Wi-Fi device.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
And we got the replacement device, but then I'm like, okay, so just so you know, the way that we work is not going to work when you plug that thing in. I need to come and do some other stuff to the device. You can plug it in, but you're going to have to just use that Wi-Fi broadcast and use that Wi-Fi password
if
you
want to
have some kind of stuff working for 2 hours before I get home. So she did, and things were working, and things were fine, but the speed was not any better. I got home later on, and then I plugged directly into the router, and I was doing my configurations of it and switched it around. And I was getting some better speeds, but then I had the better speeds for all of 3-4 seconds or so, and then all of a sudden it goes right back down to the same level speeds again. So net-net, I got a little bit better. It went from, I don't know, maybe 10 to 12 meg. All the way up to a blistering fast, maybe 20 meg.
Is it only on the wireless? So if you're wired,
no,
it's good?
It's hardwired in.
Hardwired in, you're still getting crap speeds.
That's it. Oof. Once or twice you get the high speeds where it's supposed to be, up above 100 plus, but then down to 10 or 20. So I'm going to see if I can convince her to do another tech support call today to get the guy to come out.
You're going to have to like spend all your random spending on her.
We're going to have to end up having to pay for some guy to come out and look at it just to say, oh, the signal's too weak. I'll go and jiggle some cables outside and make it work.
Yeah. Oddity has joined us. He says he can't believe that you gave your wife that job. He did that once. Took him 3 days to unwind the cabling rework she did.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is it's mostly self-contained. So it's good. I wish we could do some faster solutions like fiber and stuff like that. But
unfortunately,
it's not going to work.
The area that we live, there is one provider.
Well, there are a number of fiber runs that go past our houses, but they all go to the data center. That's
up there. Exactly.
There are. I mean, the NSA has shown us that you can tap fiber.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there.
Yeah. At least not when we're talking in a public forum.
So the issues are still up and down at the Claus household. Unfortunately, so I have to wait for further updates.
It has affected the siege.
Yes, it has. How about you, man? You got any beer money issues going on at your place?
No, Dan PI is like, do you want to meet for coffee?
Oh, nice. You want to eat coffee at 10 o'clock?
I'm doing patch and switch right now.
Oh, nice. I'm meeting him at the cafe at 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah?
10:15, yeah.
Okay, I'll walk over the
41
over there with you.
Yeah.
I'm 41? Yeah. Not 9?
Nope, 41.
That's all the way over on the other side of campus.
Well, you don't have to go. You're welcome to.
That's not the other side of campus. That's
across the street.
Across the street. Other side of campus is like
You're right. My bad. My bad. You know what? I've not had to do any beer money support.
Do you have any suggestion for my beer money support for the next steps?
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Given the fact that you've swapped out the equipment, I think it's time to have a technician out to check the lines.
I mean, I could definitely say it could have been older equipment, but it's not the issue anymore.
I did the self-install of the X1 platform before the holiday break, and I actually had to have somebody come out because when they come out originally, now, the cable modem that I use is just a cable modem, and it has no Wi-Fi.
Yep.
So did you get one of those, or do you have the one that has the built-in Wi-Fi? Because I was able to get one that just doesn't even have it.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi doesn't bug me because I don't use it. You can turn it off in the interface.
Sure.
If you actually just go and open up the web port of 10.0.0.1, you can log in with the super secure password of admin with the password of password.
I hope you changed that.
Of course I did. And then you can go and disable the different functionality. And then the final one you disable is the wireless.
Now, you know that guest wireless that Comcast has, you have to disable that in your account. You can't do it on the router.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I have no idea how to do that.
But at any rate, they had to come in and replace some filters.
Yeah.
Supposedly
we had that last time.
So they
the
had
signal
an amplifier.
Was coming in too hot.
Yeah. So they had the amplifier on in my system. They needed to amplify the signal throughout the house, not just the one that was coming in. And I went from having this big old kludgy amplifier / signal splitter / and a separate signal splitter and a separate something or other that just really made the box just unruly. They came in and replaced it with this nice
little tiny thing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
And I've not had any problems since. But my issue was not – my speeds have been awesome. I also know that the run – I'm lucky. I have one other house on my run. They're not around.
Nice.
They don't use much signal. So it basically home runs from the DMARC to this connection where there's only two of us on it. Because the guy, when he comes with his big little tester unit thing, he's always like, whoa. I'm like, what? He's like, how many other houses are on this connection? I'm like, well, weren't you just outside? He's like, yeah, I only saw you and one other. And I'm like, yep. He's like, yeah, don't move.
Nice. I don't think I have that luxury where I'm at because the way that the location's built, as you know, it's like a extended cul-de-sac of a bunch of houses just on the other side of a bridge. So we're probably all in the same freaking run.
Yeah. Vizio MVP asks, as a Canadian, perhaps your internet speed is tied to the Canadian dollar.
Oh, it could be. Yeah, it could be. A sliding scale. A sliding scale set of currency and internet speeds.
Yeah. Easy Growler Guy, cable or DSL had to give Cox had to get Cox outside to replace his tap outside to improve signal strength. Yeah. It's got to be something like that.
It's either
we didn't have problems.
No,
it is fairly recent, at least in the last month or two. Because yeah. I mean, we brewed all last year and didn't have really any issues. So, yeah. And I don't think it's your Wi-Fi device because if you're tapped in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because Joe Kelly earlier mentioned, I can't believe people still use stock firmware on their routers. Tomato would have fixed this, right? Which is just, I still use some of the stock firmware on my stuff, but it's mostly because I just haven't had the time to research to get everything set up right on my end one. But anyway.
Oh, coughing fit.
Coughing fit.
He's clear.
I'm clear.
So it's been a relatively dormant month as far as...
It's
the post-Christmas beer money hangover where you don't want to talk to anybody is what it is.
It's that and the fact that I've already done so much support that most people's stuff is still working. I still can't get over that. The laptop that Santa got from the Microsoft store.
Oh, yeah?
That just...
works?
It doesn't have all the crap. You're not constantly fighting it. That's just... Yeah.
That signature is the way to go.
Yeah, it really is. Signature is absolutely the way to go.
I just broke my mouse.
You just broke the mouse? How did you break it? Oh, never mind.
Never mind. He broke it because it's Rick.
It's Rick.
There we go.
All right, cool. Next segment. Boy, we're flying through it.
I know. We got to slow down these segments, man.
Well, it's because we really haven't gotten to the right segment yet. Hang on. I've got it. Yeah, we better open a couple more. Nope, sorry, that one kind of got out of hand. Let's talk about beer. It's our favorite segment of the show. We have spent many an hour of late making beer. Brewed last weekend. We made a Scotch ale the weekend before that. We did your rye
IPA.
It is an IPA then.
Yep.
Which we moved over to secondary on Friday. As I came by, I'm like, I'm not really doing anything. Are you doing anything? You're like, no, come on by.
Yep.
So we did some beer maintenance, a lot of beer maintenance, actually.
Yeah,
and moved that to secondary. And then we have officially opened up and enabled the colorblind red.
Yes.
It's really good. We were drinking it all day Sunday, too. I mean, Friday night and all day Sunday.
No, it drinks well.
It drinks very well.
It's just not red.
It's just not red. So it's colorblind red.
Yes.
And it has been quite good as far as drinkability is concerned. The carbonation's kind of leveled out. But it's just not red. But it's got a nice malt taste to it. Definitely reminds me of a nice red ale, for sure.
Lotta T is asking if that's beer in my cup. I cannot confirm nor deny.
Yes.
Now,
I've been doing the research on the rye IPA because we're looking at trying to do some additions. We're about to go into our competition brewing phase right now as a group, which means that we have a competition in March, so we have a select
amount of
time.
Hang on, I've
got to
interrupt you.
Stuff.
Frederick has joined us, so nice. A big bork bork to you, sir.
Oh, nice. The big thing with this competition is that the style of competition is called a brewer's choice.
That everybody dance.
Everybody goes in and judges.
All skate.
and they choose the winner of the night by depositing marbles inside of voting jars.
Marbles?
And the most marbles wins.
Marbles.
Because all of us have lost marbles, of course.
You got no marbles.
And so you need to be able to stand out. So the approach we went with the first year was, you know, let's go and try this. And so we did some good stuff. Second year, we went for the drinkability factor, and that was a bad choice because we didn't stand out.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Because we brew beer that we're going to actually drink
afterwards. Yeah. You want to have more than just one little 2-ounce sample.
You know, generally.
It's like the competition barbecue ribs that you were telling me about. When you do competition barbecue, it's like that. Wow.
Yeah, it's one bite, right?
You know, that's all. You don't eat like
or
a whole
one rib.
Flock of ribs.
No, you eat like
what
a
are they
rib.
Called? Side of ribs.
Slab
yes, of ribs.
It's a slab.
Slab of ribs. You don't drink a whole slab of ribs. Eat his whole tray of ribs.
You can only drink a slab of ribs if you have a really good blender. Make sure you debone it first. Yes.
Will it blend?
Or else you do in the McRib sandwich.
Chomp.
For the rye IPA, we're looking at doing some different options for making it stand out as one choice for the beer that I'll be entering in. And so I decided to enlist the work of my good friend, the Ginger Shot Man, over in 42.
Oh.
The Shake Guy.
Your Shake Guy.
And I'm like, you know, he's a home brewer too, apparently. I didn't know this.
Oh, really?
But he's actually more into distillation at this point in time.
Okay.
But anyway, he's saying, because I'm saying, okay, so I want to try something. How can I make this pop? Can I make it pop with something hot? Can I make it pop with something spicy? Like, you know, what can we do here? And so he's coming up with some ideas, and we decided that a good possibility is, first of all, he wants me to bring a bottle of it over to be able to sample.
Well, yeah, because you can't really pair it with the ingredients without tasting it.
And then he said, and when you bring it over, make sure you bring it over after three, because my boss wants to try it too. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And so I'm basically going to have like one of the head chefs at the cafe and the shake guy from the cafe giving me some brewing advice to be able to pair these two things together, which is kind of cool.
So are you still on the path of something spicy? Because you wanted heat. You didn't want it to say...
We wanted heat.
Hit your entire
right.
tongue. You
but
wanted
he also
the
wants
warmth.
Some kind of flavor to go with that heat, right?
Okay.
And so...
The rye's not enough?
Well, the rye should be enough, but you can either go with just the heat, in which case he recommends going with a bunch of peppers soaked inside of vodka. Because that basically will extract the flavor. Hello. And so that's one option to be able to go with. And he's mentioned a couple of things. But then he also suggested, you know, why don't you go with some ginger? And I'm like, I like ginger. I've always liked ginger. And I, you know, continue to obsess about making a ginger beer that's more beer than ginger.
Right.
As an option.
A beer with ginger.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, going to bring a half gallon growler over. And,
okay.
Probably next week after we filter it this weekend with beer maintenance. And
well,
going
to
try some different sample things inside of it.
So one of the things that we were talking about Friday when we were just sitting around enjoying a few tasty beverages after the beer maintenance was complete, we started having this discussion because the original intent or your original brew was just, it was just, you're going to enter the rye IPA. We've got the Scotch Ale. Again, we're in the drinkability factor beers.
Yeah.
And then one of the members of Beer Team 6 and Bruce brought over the gingerbread Imperial Stout.
Yep.
13%?
13 change. Yeah.
13 and change percent ABV. And 198,217 IBU.
Nice.
That's the only way I can explain. It's well over 100. I think it's in the 100 plus range of IBUs.
It's 117 or something like that. He measured out. Your mouth stops tasting around 80.
Yeah.
AZ Growler guys, like vodka will kill your yeast. Well,
I
that's
know. You put it in secondary.
In secondary in after secondary. The yeast is gone. Yeah, it's all good. But this is really, really good, at least in terms of samples.
Yeah.
And so the thought was, well, I really wanted to do, because he also did a white stout. Is it chocolate?
Golden stout.
The golden stout.
Yeah.
Which I think is very good because it's a deceptive thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a very, you know, very, it's a lighter color. You don't expect to get the big stout finish. So we were talking about, I really like to do like a very, very crisp, clean lager with coffee. And, you know, it may have been several, the reason behind it, maybe we've had several colorblind red ales that evening. We decided, hey, let's just take 6 ounces of coffee and put it in this 5-gallon container of lager that we already have that's been waiting and ready.
Yep.
So we did that. And when it was a day and a half, about a day and a half that it was,
it
was
in there? It actually sat, in my opinion, a little too long.
Oh, did it? Oh, no.
Because I forgot about it. But it was in for 2 days. Probably a day and a half would have been better. So just that much change potentially. But Bruce also mentioned that the coffee flavor will fade back a bit after it sits. Potentially we can also go and chuck it through a filter if we need to kind of, in case there was any residual coffee that came off of the beans.
Oh yeah, we may have to run it through the filter. Well, if we're going to filter already, we may as well filter twice.
Yeah, might as well filter twice.
you did mention that this is the my fantastic message via the Beer Team 6 IM hotline was, it's so clear. I don't expect coffee. And that's when I went, yes, I think we might have something
yes.
here.
No, it's definitely true. It's drinkable, but I'm not a black coffee drinker. That's my issue.
Yeah, you have yours with like 14 coffee, pounds right? of sugar and yeah. milk.
So I'm a right? creamy guy. So having just the lager as the back end and then the coffee, obviously the coffee is going to be very front forward because it's yeah. going to overpower the clean lager taste. So I commented that it tastes like you took a beer and a coffee and you just
yes,
mixed it,
and mixed
drank,
it together,
which is what you're looking for.
That's kind of what we're looking for. And maybe if, you know, and this might work because we are looking for the sample size
yeah.
to get that hit of flavor. But then we went off on another tangent.
It just seems to happen. I don't know why.
I don't know. How do we ever go on tangents? In this, it's not just this show. It happens in natural, in the natural habitat. What?
Squirrel.
Yeah. Which was another member of Beer Team 6, and Claire brought up the fact that she had a beer that tasted like a chocolate milkshake.
Yes.
And this beer is from the Boulder Brewing Company, and it is called Shake. And she did manage to find a bottle of it and bring it over Sunday during the football/brewing fest of Sunday. Oh, my.
Yeah, it was very nice. It would be even better over nitro, but it was quite good.
So we're and it's a porter. It's not a stout. Mm-hmm. And this is what appeals to me. And we sampled a number of chocolate stouts as well. I like in the wintertime, a stout is great, but sometimes you just don't want to have a meal with your beer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for something a little lighter, but still with the dark flavors, which is why I love porters. So the activity for Sunday's brew day is a clone of Shake. At least an attempt. Basically using some information gleaned from the only recipe that exists online and a lot of information that Shake actually mentions about their beer.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some experience in people who have done flavored beers, which has not been us.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going.
The big hint we're going to do for this one is that we're going to actually introduce chocolate powder.
Yeah.
At a stage in the brew.
Yes.
That is not only and solely relying on cocoa nibs to be able to get the chocolate
cacao
flavor.
Nibs,
cacao,
yes.
cacao. I guess as long as they're not coca nibs.
Yeah. Oh,
that yeah. would be a controlled substance.
Moving on.
Be very energetic, though. So we might have the entire beer party
Wait,
winning.
Talk about tangent.
Anyway, they're a bit harder to secure. The milk chocolate powder makes it so that it has the milk chocolatey taste to it. And then going with the lactose to get some more mouthfeel and sweetness with it
yeah.
as well.
And, of course, our super secret that we're not going to mention of how we've been getting some good mouthfeel as well, learned from the folks at Revolution.
Yep. We'll see where it comes in.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's... But it's the good thing is we're testing our brand-new 5-gallon setup batch that we have.
That was the next topic.
That's random spending, man.
Yeah.
We can't jump there just yet.
No.
Can we?
Well, I think are we done talking about beer?
Well,
I mean, a lot of folks.
Yeah, but yeah, let's do a tip of the hat to Jared for his Scotch ale recipe. I will give him props for being very diligent with the timings and everything else that was going on with that one.
Joe Kelly in the chat room says he had a nitro coffee porter the other day that was brilliant. He heard from the brewer that the reason for using nitro over CO2 is that the CO2 will oxidize the coffee rapidly and make it bitter. Which leads to the question, could we take the lager and put it over nitro and see what that would do?
It's already been CO2'd, though. We did forced carbonation to be able to pour it.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'd have
true.
To make another batch. Not enough time.
All right. It was a thought.
Good idea.
It was a thought. J-Shock was mentioning a candy bar stout.
Yes. This was the one that I had down in Arizona at Craft 64 with AZ Growler Guy. And at the same time, I got to taste the Del Bach whiskey, which is an all Arizona Scotch whiskey made from an Irish whiskey recipe. But dang, it was good.
Wow.
And it paired well together.
Wow. Fantastic.
Lots of choices.
All right. Should we move on? Next segment, random spending?
Yeah, I guess we can do that.
I don't know. I mean, you're I can tell you've not been drinking coffee. you're like not quite here.
Multipass.
So random spending. We've done a lot of random spending. We bought new beer kit.
We did.
We bought because we had to ship. This is the best thing ever. So
is this we've been known to prank.
Yes.
Not that we like to do pranks on people.
No.
Even at work or at home, but even in our personal lives.
Correct.
We had one particular member of our team that was moving out east and had to leave a good chunk of beer brewing equipment inside the garage that the combined team would use as
yes.
a 5-gallon kit. But he needed to get it back because he wants to start to brew again. And so we decided that it was time to go and play a prank on him because he was also the OCD Mr. Clean guy.
Yes.
And what we did was we took, I think it was actually your red ale.
I do believe it was.
It was
the
red ale. It was.
The trub and the scunge from the bottom of the boil pot, which is normally discarded.
Yes.
It's quite toxic looking and gross looking.
Which it's basically just a bunch of
hops and grains and sugars and stuff like that at the bottom. It just looks disgusting and syrupy and thick. I took a sandwich bag, a Ziploc sandwich bag, and then we scooped up 2 or 3 big scoopfuls of this stuff to put it inside the sandwich bag, seal it up to be able to put it in the bottom of his pot. So we gave him his pot clean, but it had this sandwich bag of stuff inside of it.
And not only is the sandwich bag of stuff in the pot, it was strategically placed underneath
the brewing screen.
The brewing screen.
Yeah, so you couldn't see anything. And so we were dying for him to go in and actually
notice
the pot.
Yes.
Notice.
Notice
was,
that we
he wasn't doing it.
No.
Until
it was
finally,
weeks.
Yeah,
it was
weeks later. I don't know. Did you spill the beans? I think it was one of the comments you made.
I did make a comment in regards to it.
I wanted him to just keep on using it and eventually happen. But he found it and he says, the pages of expletives came out of
what
his
the dot, dot,
WhatsApp.
What the dot did you guys do?
It was quite good.
And so we were without a 5-gallon brew system for a number of weeks, which we just remedied. It was kind of like, hey, we should get around to doing this. It went from, hey, we should get around to doing this to all of a sudden there was
people throwing money down on the table.
Exactly. Because we all happen to have cash with us.
Yep.
And so we just ordered it right then and there. And so we have ordered it's a 10 gallon
mash tun and a 10 gallon brew pot, both from a company called SS Brewtech.
And the mash tun is double insulated, triple insulated,
double wall
insulated. It's crazy.
With a conical bottom, and the draw comes from the bottom, so the zero headspace.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's got nice little gradated lines on the inside, so you know how much water is going into it and what's going on. Very nice little temperature probe. It's basically looking really quite nice, and we get to finally use it this weekend to see how efficient it is at temperature remediation.
I got a big shout out real quick. Apparently Patrick has got stomach inflammation and is in hospital or something. So hopefully he's all well. Though Patrick did say patch and switch while on morphine is excellent.
Oh, nice.
So that's fantastic to know that even on morphine, the show is
even
good.
On prescription narcotics, you can listen to the show.
Exactly.
I think that should be our new tagline.
So we have new
two guys you can listen to while on prescription narcotics.
Wait. I don't want to encourage anything. I really don't. So that was a pretty significant random spend. And then I get a WhatsApp message from you and audio guy. Because you found something else for us to go on a tangent about.
Ah, yes.
Rainbow Six Siege.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
How did this start? Where did this come from?
Both of us were complaining at some point, probably over beer, about how...
That never happens.
Yeah, that never happens. About how both of us get our butts handed to us by 13-year-olds online games.
Yeah, first-person shooters.
First-person shooters.
Exactly. Because
all they do is they run around, they jump, and they keep on jumping so you can't shoot them.
Well, and
it's like, who knows a sniper that can jump 10 feet in the freaking air and still pull off a shot? Oh, yeah, that 13-year-old of it.
Yeah,
exactly. So, and I'd been watching...
Is that your boy?
I'd been watching a whole bunch of Twitch. I'll admit it. It's kind of turned into my evening TV is watching Twitch TV. Specifically, I've been watching one channel, this guy called General Mittens. His wife created this...
General Mittens?
Exactly, General Mittens. He, his wife created this great screen. While you're watching his channel, instead of having a face cam like a lot of the Twitch guys do, it's a cat, and its mouth moves while he's talking, and then his eyes will blink, and it whiskers and ears move, and it's just freaking hilarious.
This sounds absolutely terrifying.
It is, but it's also awesome at the same time.
It's one of those Logitech apps, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. His wife did a great job on the programming of this thing. Anyway, so I've been watching this channel, and all they've been playing lately is Rainbow Six Siege, because it's like, yeah, there are other games out there, but this one's fun. And I keep watching. I'm like, gosh, it'd be fun to play that with a whole bunch of my friends. So I got him going on it, and then it just kind of blew up.
Literally. So there's an open invitation to basically join up to the squad to be able to play. And
what are we
trying to coerce
squad?
People into it?
Yeah, which we have on Twitter.
Which you have on Twitter.
It's already started. In fact, was it AZ Growler guy who replied with the hashtag random spending?
Yes.
And then the game went on sale.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Of course, after I bought it at full freaking pop.
Yeah. So I've actually picked it up. I know AZ Growler guy has picked it up. J-Shock's picked it up. So we've got an open invitation to join the...
MKEO77, I believe, is picking it up digitally.
Oh, I haven't seen MKEO77. Is he here?
He's not in the room, but I saw him on Twitter talking about it. But he was going to buy the Blu-ray and then remembered his Blu-ray drive is dead on his Xbox.
That doesn't work.
So the question becomes, how do we get everyone coordinated to actually be online at the same time to be able to have a match?
That's going
to
be the fun part. We're going to have to figure that out. And the nice thing is, if we can get 10 players... We could just play all of us against two teams, and we don't have to even worry about any of the 13-year-olds out there.
Nice,
wow!
So it's fun. Like if when you get it and you install it,
hey, Kelvin,
I can definitely recommend. You do want to go through the what are they called?
The scenarios,
situations. If you do the training videos, which you just watch, and they give you points for watching them. And then when you've done the training videos, then you go and do the situations, which are basically you in a AI map of stuff to be able to go off and to learn the skills of leaning to the side or throwing flash bombs or going in and having to
breach doors and
disarm bombs and hold the position against an onslaught of guys coming at you three or four times. I just did that one there. That was hard.
Oh, I know. It is.
You have to protect the hostage while the guys are coming through the walls and all sorts of stuff. So.
Yeah.
It's good. Like you breach walls, you open up holes in walls. They have what they call murder holes you can create.
Yeah,
which are rather difficult and things. So it's pretty neat because like even just you and I playing, because you can play what's known as terrorist mode, where it's just you and a buddy that's playing on Xbox Live in a party, trying to solve this AI scenario. And that's just been fun with like, okay, I'm gonna go send the robot in to be able to see what's going on. Okay, no, there's a guy around the corner. When you breach that door, he's gonna be to your left. Ready to go? 3, 2, 1, go. So that's just fun, right?
And one of the greatest things about this is some of the realism in the game.
Yeah.
Because if you take a look at, like, one of the things you can do is you have a room, but there's a wall between you and there's a guy in the room. You know where they are in the room because of, like, a camera drone.
Yeah.
You can shoot through the wall unless they've reinforced it. So if it's just drywall, you can shoot through it.
Nice. That's awesome. Kelvin Hoyle says, dang it, I just random spent on Rainbow Six Siege now.
Join the squad.
Yes.
Sean Lowe says he needs an Xbox One rather than playing how to install and work with Nano Server. Well,
that's important too.
That's a great game too.
That's a great game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably not as fun as Team Patch and Switch. We did get a question from, or we did get a suggestion from Wireless Life. You should add a landing page to grab everyone's Xbox Live handles. You know where to find us on Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter's the main we're recording now.
And you can always, you know, follow, and all. I tend to follow back most of the listeners. So just remind me and DM, whatever.
And we can also just even hear in the chat room, because we've got a large number of people in the chat room. If you're a Rainbow Six Siege player and would like to join us, put in your Xbox Live handle here.
Yeah, we'll right in the chat room.
And it's Rainbow Six Siege on Xbox One, not on PC.
Not PS4.
Yeah, exactly.
Xbox One.
Joe Kelly's saying so many games to play so little time. He's still trying to get time to play Battlefront, as am I, Star Wars Battlefront, to be exact, which I did buy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the whole point of the reason why I bought the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Was for that game, and it's still in the wrapping. I haven't opened it yet because I haven't had time. It's brewing season. That's what happens.
See, and the other game that I'm playing a lot of, or a little bit of, because my nephew's been just clocking me every time, is Madden 16.
Yeah, that's I did buy Madden. Actually, I think it was one of the free games I purchased. Right. Yeah. Oh, Esposito still trying to get to level 19 in Pac-Man.
Nice.
Any suggestions? I was never a big Pac-Man guy.
It's all about patterns.
Yeah.
All about patterns.
You got to know. AZ Growler guy says he returned Star Wars Battlefront and says, ugh. Probably just maybe because it's more multiplayer than, I don't know.
That's the one thing about Siege is it's primarily multiplayer.
Yeah.
Except for the scenarios or situations.
Well, and you can do the terrorist hunt as a lone wolf.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice.
El Lobo Solo. The lone wolf. One Wise Geek is still trying to figure out Duke Nukem.
The other big game that I was playing a lot this week was Minesweeper. So, I mean, it's just...
Minesweeper? That's... How's the graphics on that?
Still the same from Windows 95.
AZ Growler guy says that Star Wars Battlefront got very boring after a few days. I don't know. It's Star Wars.
It's hard to be bored. I don't have it. I'm not a franchise fan for those PC games myself.
Yeah, but it's on Xbox One.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say. I haven't
It's Star Wars, dude.
I know it's Star Wars.
It's freaking Star Wars.
Did you get in on the pre-buy for Star Wars The Force Awakens on Xbox Video?
I actually purchased the Blu-ray. I tend to like the physical media still. I haven't completely switched over to the all digital world. I did. Are we keeping you awake?
Sorry.
Would you like some coffee?
It's hard, man. For some reason, it's like I find this show really hard right now.
I'm sorry if we're keeping you up. You may have a nap if you'd like. I
got a good sleep last night.
Yeah.
And it's, for some reason, the other days, the other mornings, I've been, I don't know. I'm sitting down is what the problem is. You stand up.
Is it you're actually doing work now?
Or? It could be. Yeah. It could be.
Andy Sandwich says he has to say it's very satisfying blasting rubble scum from an AT-AT. See, that's what on Hoth, which is the best scenario ever, right? I mean, taking over an AT-AT, being a snowtrooper or something, and then turning around and then flying the snow speeders and taking down AT-AT. I mean, it's just, yeah. Speaking of Duke Nukem and Wolfenstein, these guys are going off in the chat room about all the old school games. Do you remember the one? I forget the name of the title, and it was kind of the Japanese ninja guy, and you'd run around. I write nuclear weapon. Oh, and it was a very Duke Nukem style game. I'm trying to remember what it was. We used to play it all the time. Sorry, we used to do network testing.
Yes,
and that was used for network testing. Yes. Yeah. Hopefully somebody in the chat room will recognize what I'm trying to say. I think it was by the same guys that did Duke Nukem, but it was like a Japanese ninja
Shadow
guy.
Warrior.
Shadow Warrior. I'm going on a tangent now.
Did you remember Commandos? It was an ISO game.
No.
And it was you were like allies against the Germans and
Date Katana. Oh.
No. It's Shadow Warrior. I can tell you, it's Shadow Warrior.
I write nuclear weapon.
Well, and when the Germans saw you, they're like. Acton, alarm, alarm. And then you had to run away from him. And it's just like, it was like the worst German. It was like Sergeant Schultz accents.
But the problem is that they would be so loud when they said it, it would actually scare the poop out of you.
Yes, exactly.
So the first time I ever played Half-Life, the original Half-Life PC game,
yes.
Was about 1 or 2 in the morning.
Oh,
with headphones on,
yeah.
And playing through the campaign. And I'm pretty sure I didn't sleep that night, and it was not because I was up all night playing the game. It scared the ever-living crud out of me because of just how well that game was done, particularly when you had the headphones on and, the evil creatures jumping. Mm-hmm. I love that game. I love playing
across
multiplayer.
The ceiling and dropping.
Yeah.
I'll say one thing about Rainbow Six Siege. If you should have good audio or headphones if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can actually hear when you're walking around, or you can stand there quiet and hear people moving around.
Yeah, when you have explosions or gunfire in different areas of the map, so you can hear it.
And off in the distance,
know
knowing something's
go
going on.
Or know which direction it's coming from.
Yeah, it's very good that they did it.
Joe Kelly says System Shock did that to him, scared the crap out of him when he first played it as a kid. You know, the games that we first started playing as kids had no sound. Zork. right? It really had no sound other than like the cheesy MIDI music at the very beginning. There was really no sound. It's like everything, you had to read everything.
Yep.
Kids nowadays.
Kids these days.
Oh, Andy Sauer says, hopefully we'll get Half-Life 3 someday. My favorite thing was playing multiplayer with the crossbow in Half-Life. I was wicked with that thing. And we would play it doing the network testing in the office, and there would be three or four of us playing. And did you just pull apart your phone? You just did.
I didn't mean to do that.
So we would all play it in the same office, but we were in cubicles. And so what I would do is I'd be like, hey, so-and-so. He's like, what? Thunk. He's like, oh, you're evil.
We used to, at the company I owned back in the day in Montana, we had we would play Quake 4 Arena. Or is it Quake 3 Arena? Quake 3 Arena.
Oh, yeah.
But our graphic design department, actually, we took digital photographs of everyone. They made skins so you could actually run around and, like, literally shoot the people in the office.
Oh, nice.
It was epic.
Big shout-out to IBAGeeko3, who's joined. I didn't see you jump in. Sorry. I'm actually thinking of replaying Half-Life 2 again. I never picked that up, so it's... No, actually, you know what I did? I just don't think I finished it. The one game that I did not pick up that I'm looking at getting is Diablo 3. I was a big fan of Diablo. Again, it was one of our network testing games.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't carry that.
The cow level. Just saying.
Not enough mana. Not enough mana.
Not enough mana.
We had too much fun playing video games. We've gone off on a tangent again. Now they've gone into Commodore 64, Commodore Amiga, and all sorts of other games.
So what happens when you leave the chat room to do what they want to do?
That's what happens when the chat room is unsupervised. That's what happens when the show is unsupervised. We go off on random tangents. I'm a big fan of the old track and field. You remember that? The old video game where I mastered the pencil that you could use to flip the two buttons. Yeah, exactly. So that you could qualify. I mean, I probably spent, I don't know, easily $100 just trying to get to the final.
Yep.
What was it, what was the final one? Was it the little hammer throw kind of thing? Oh, that was impossible.
You mean the hammer throw?
Yeah. Easy Growler Guy.
Rotation. Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I'm hearing from both Andy Sandwich and Easy Growler Guy that Diablo 3 was meh.
So let's get Diablo 2 and
I can't carry that. I want to know why people stuff skeletons in barrels in Diablo. Someone put those skeletons in barrels before the apocalypse. Super tech boy. Path of Exile and Titan Quest were better. You don't understand. Diablo had some of the best lines. That's what I loved about it, right? And just a great story.
Sound
bites.
I'm sure you can probably get all those sound bites on the interwebs.
I'm probably going to have to go find them.
For the next show.
Not
for the
you
next
would
show.
Know where to get sound or music.
Right, exactly. With a couple minutes left of the show, it's time to name next week's episode. So let's have three work safe words in the chat room for those of you who have joined us there.
Not next week's.
Sorry, the next show in a fortnight. So it's time to name. Frederick says the tack died multiple times playing track and field. Absolutely. Joe Kelly says Diablo. I'm with that first one. Super tech boy Morphine
in honor of Patrick.
In our yes, and I hope you're well, Patrick. I hope you feel better. And Sean Lowe said Siege. Should we do Siege? Yeah, let's do Siege. So we're gonna go with the Diablo Morphine Siege for next the next episode, which is in a fortnight's time.
So noted.
Other than that, if you want to play Rainbow Six Siege with us and you want to leave your gamer tag in the chat room, feel free to do that. We'll have Audio Guy pick that up and make sure that he gets everything noted there for us. And there's the band, which means that does it again for another exciting episode of the Patch and Switch Show. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Those of you who joined us live, of course, everybody who joins us in the replay on Channel 9 on the patchandswitch.com website, thank you. Also, iTunes and everywhere else you get us. Want to send a shout out to IBAGeeko3, Oddity, Kowski, One Wise Geek, Frederick Bork. Prayer joined us. I didn't even see you, IT Prayer. Bjarne, good to see you and happy birthday. Fair Brit. Patrick, hope you feel better. Wireless Life, good to see you. Adam Baum, good luck this weekend with your Broncos. Kelvin Hoyle, Vizio MVP, Tom Kupka will be in touch with you for that care package. And of course, Jay Barsotti. Until next time, have a weekend, everyone.
We've opened a doorway to a world we know nothing about.